I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode of Come for Supper is sponsored by Grey Goose. Grey Goose Premium Vodka is 100% traceable from crop to cork and famously made in France using single-origin Picardy winter wheat and natural spring water. Grey Goose is inspiring people to live victoriously and celebrate not just the grand events, but moments big and small. In my opinion, it is the only vodka to drink. I can't think of a better way to toast with friends over the Christmas season, as, after all, some gifts are meant to be shared. Grey Goose Vodka can be found online at Amazon, and you can find some delicious recipes on greygoose.com. Thank you, Grey Goose, for making the Come for Supper Christmas special that bit more special. Hello, and welcome to Come for Supper, the podcast that sees me, Alexandra Dudley, sit down with people of note to chat about life and learn a little bit more about how they like to entertain. This week, we have a Christmas special with three wonderful guests returning to the show. From Christmas parties to how to cope with in-laws and what to do with leftovers, we'll be chatting through the thrills and throes of the festive season and quite possibly enjoying a couple of drinks and mince pies too. Returning to the studio is restaurateur and author Russell Norman of Polpo, cookery writer and preserves expert Thane Prince, and chef of the moment Lele Favuzzi, who you can currently find cooking at London's Mortimer House Kitchen. You can catch up with all of their individual episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Acast, and all podcast places. If you're new to the show, do click subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, I'm Alexandra Dudley.
Hello, I'm Lele Favuzzi from Mortimer House Kitchen.
Hello, I'm Russell Norman from Polpo.
And I'm Thane Prince.
This is the second of a three-part Come for Supper Christmas special. If you missed out on the first episode, you might want to jump back and listen. Otherwise, carry on whilst we chat about all things Christmas Day. The big day, a stressful one for some. So who does the cooking in each of your houses?
Me.
What do you think?
Yeah. You never know.
Well, no, I suppose. But I have one very strict rule, which is that I'm doing the cooking, we have breakfast, and then I cook the lunch. And the cook, i.e. me, has the best bottle of champagne. And it's entirely hers.
In the house?
Yes.
Entirely. Oh, that's
a good rule.
Someone else does that.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see if you know who it is.
Nigella?
Oh. No, Rowley Lee. Oh, and he was telling me about this quite recently.
But continue.
Well, no, what I was going to say was, because it is just the best rule, because you have a beautiful glass and a beautiful bottle of champagne, which you sip during the morning. And by the time lunch comes, if it's no good, you don't notice.
Yeah, it's so true.
Brilliant.
No, it just is a sort of treat.
No, it's a great treat.
I do think so. Mm. You do the most of the job, right?
Yeah, of course. And no washing up.
You deserve it.
I presume. Absolutely no washing up.
Never.
So, Russell, you do the cooking as well?
Yeah, I quite enjoy it. Mm. I love my kitchen, and I love all the pots and pans, and love getting out the extra bits of equipment that you only use on Christmas Day, like the massive turkey baster and a few other and a special roasting tray that I have that takes all of the sprouts and all of the carrots and parsnips as well. Mm-hmm. I've got two very large ovens, but my rule, I haven't done the champagne. I've learned something today.
No. Yeah, so have I. I'm going to take that home.
But my rule is that that I don't have to talk to anyone if I don't want to. Because I just said, look, I'm concentrating. Sorry, I'll be with you in 5 minutes. Of course, I never am. And I have this lovely little bubble of peace.
Is your kitchen on the ground? See, my kitchen's in the basement. Oh, okay. So I'm downstairs. Yeah. And everyone else is creating havoc upstairs. Yeah. And I'm just like chilled. Christmas music.
Champagne. Yeah. Brilliant.
I've normally got Radio 4 on, and I've got a view of the pond and the birds on the feeders and the dogs running around the garden. Nice. So it's lovely.
How idyllic. Mm. What about you, Dele?
Nice. Definitely one of the rule will be cooking, not cleaning.
Cooking, not cleaning, always.
That's for sure. then I would say I definitely cook for everyone, and I'm going to take on board the champagne option, which I think is going to work in my ambit. But I definitely cook if I'm in Italy, helping my mom, and I try to keep everyone away from the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the most annoying thing while you're cooking for parties.
Yes. Everyone has an opinion.
Everybody wants to have a piece of what you're cooking or wants to know exactly what it's going to happen.
And then things go wrong.
And then things go wrong. Yeah. They come in the kitchen, they chat, and you get just nervous.
Yeah.
And, for sure, that's one rule to be observed.
Do you eat turkey on Christmas? Because I don't, my family don't eat turkey, actually, controversially.
Oh.
They eat goose. Okay. It's a bit more old-fashioned.
We're having goose for Christmas this year.
Yeah, they've always had goose.
And I've already had complaints.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Goose is, surely goose is better than
I wouldn't
turkey.
Say it's better, but it's a nice option occasionally. We've had geese.
I think I'm only cooking for seven this year,
so
it's quite a small crowd.
Yes, and you can't do a lot with a goose.
And also with goose, you don't have all the other stuff that you have to put with turkey. But it's probably good to put with turkey.
I do like the litres of fat that you get from cooking.
Yeah, I have a funny story about that actually. Mm.
Yes, and what I need to ask is potatoes. You see, that's another
goose fat. Potatoes and goose fat.
Do you have roast potatoes?
Always.
Oh, you see, we have mash.
And
that is,
I
know. Because you see, you've got all this rich food, and actually, what you want is really stonking gravy.
Yeah.
And actually, mash.
Mm. Yeah, no, I see that. I actually am not a fan of the roast potato. Yeah, I have to say, for other reasons. But my brother and sister would probably
my daughters would riot. They would.
Yeah, they would exactly.
Yeah, no, we almost never have roast potatoes. My children prefer mash.
I mean, mash is a bit easier.
Yes, it is. And also, I do roast parsnips and roast carrots and roast everything.
Yeah,
you know, and everything's otherwise. You know, the fat levels go.
Yeah.
Red cabbage. Anyone do red cabbage? That's my non-negotiable.
Not really.
Maybe that's. Oh my gosh! It's pretty much my Christmas meal. I probably eat a cabbage.
My wife's stepmother is a huge red cabbage advocate.
Oh, and fiend.
How do you
spice
it?
She does incredibly well.
Yes, because I mean sometimes it's over clovey and then
you've got to be careful.
Yes, you have.
I mean, I don't follow. I mean, originally. The recipe will be Delia, but I think now it's so ingrained into me that from my mum that I just know what I'm doing.
It's funny thing, when you talked about mashed potato, I was thinking what goes on my stove top? And apart from parboiling the sprouts before I roast them.
And, you roast them? That's controversial. Yeah.
And putting the gravy in a pot and throwing all the bits in. We like what we call guts gravy,
which
is gravy with as much of the offal and lung. And I'll talk about that a bit later, actually. But apart from that, there's nothing else on the stovetop. So doing mash instead of roast potatoes is actually quite sensible.
Clever.
Because it frees up some oven space.
It frees up some oven space, but it also is the perfect vehicle to sort of cushion all the other flavours into your mouth.
And if you have a dry turkey, you can sort of disguise it if you've got a good creamy mash.
I don't have dry turkey.
No, really? Well, what's the secret?
Don't have dry turkey. Excuse me, wash your mouth out.
What's the secret to a perfect turkey, then?
Keeping an eye on it.
A good one.
Yeah, we normally buy 5 kilos. And
yeah, that's what I want to mention because these days people go around with that giant turkey that is big as your table, and I never understand that.
5 kilos is more than you'll need for 10 people, I'd say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Small turkey, properly, slowly grown. Cooks in about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, just halve the cooking time that's recommended.
I think below 5 kilos. Yeah.
I mean, we might, to be honest,
check the thighs and make sure it's
not pink. Check the thighs, that's true. Cooking in an aga, you can do it. We used to put it in the simmering oven at, I think, like 3 o'clock in the morning or something, depending on, someone would set their alarm and then put the turkey in.
It's a guaranteed route to dryness.
Well, it is. We once asked my brother to do it and he put it in the wrong oven. So, needless to say, it was more like jerky by the next day.
Wow. What about bread sauce? Can I throw that out?
God, I loathe bread sauce. I mean,
yes, I love it.
I love it. I don't do it.
I don't know whether I can have it with the goose.
Oh, I think you can. You can, anything goes. It's Christmas. Okay. It's all allowed.
Bread sauce. Yeah. Mm. As long as you've got the right bread.
It's sort of, it's a bit white, though, isn't it? You've got goose.
Well, I've got
mashed potato and bread sauce.
Pale goose.
She's also got red cabbage.
No, but goose is not going to be pale, but goose is going to be old gold.
Very dark.
And goose is dark as well.
And probably some roasted apples.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, something sweet to balance, right? Mm-hmm.
My mum does pickled pears.
Pickled pears. Mm. Very nice.
Very nice.
In the aga.
Well, that, it's my dad that has the agar, actually. Okay, but good. She does. She does a lot of pickling and chutney.
Yes,
chutney's always good. Mm. That's really for the next
that's
day.
That's the next day. Yep.
But you know,
although my youngest daughter does like a a cranberry.
Oh, yes. Cranberry sauce.
We always
yeah.
have cranberry.
Yeah.
Sauce.
You've got made or bought?
Bought.
No, I make it. It's easy.
Oh, but you don't. That's right. But you buy the cranberries and then make it.
Yeah, I buy the cranberries.
Very easy.
I don't grow them in my bath.
Generally, actually last year I made red currant sauce with homegrown red currants, and that was good.
Yeah. I mean, you just need something a bit tangy, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes,
that's why I think we do the pickled pears. I think.
No, I think that's a nice idea. Yes,
so something. The secret to a turkey then is a good turkey and to cook it for half the amount of cooking time.
Half the amount.
As long as you make sure it's cooked.
What I do when I'm cooking turkey is I get a big bit of muslin, which one year was a very clean muslin nappy from one of my grandchildren.
Oh, how sweet.
And I put it into a half a pound of butter and I put the muslin on top of the turkey and then you baste the muslin, which keeps all the juices in the cloth.
That's genius. Mm.
And it works a treat. And then you just peel it off. You have to throw the muslin away.
Okay, so, yeah.
But, you know, and it's really good. And then
friend of mine cooks the turkey upside down.
No, I don't do that.
Mm. Why? So, what's the reason behind
so
that?
So you need a big oven and you need a tray at the bottom of the oven for the roast potatoes and a tray in the middle which gives enough height to put the turkey in. And you put the turkey upside down so that the fat from the turkey
can drip
drips
into the
potatoes. Into the breast.
Yeah, clever.
Before
because that is the dry part, isn't it?
Before it goes
but
onto the
fact,
potatoes.
But in fact, I would suggest, having said she doesn't cook roast potatoes, that there's plenty of time after you've taken the turkey out of the oven and left it to rest to crisp up your potatoes.
That's true. That's true,
and
too.
And don't overload your oven because it's just a little oven.
It's difficult with one oven, though.
It is.
This is the thing. I think having an agar or
but
one
you,
of those
if you think
proper
to yourself
French
how
ovens makes it easier.
You've got to rest this huge bird for 45 minutes. You can roast potatoes in 45 minutes.
No, you can. Yeah. You can. Mm-hmm. Do you have turkey, then, in Italy?
Nope.
No, you have it all, don't you? You have veal and everything.
So sorry, no.
It's a meat feast.
Yes, in Italy, the Christmas day is a big feast of meat. So generally, especially, I come from Sardinia, we have lamb, which is very common to have, or suckling pork.
Oh,
I must say, like in Spain. Nothing to do with white meat like turkey. It actually is completely unknown turkey in Christmas day, I must say. But since I'm in this country, I must say I start to appreciate it. And when I do my Christmas day with my girlfriend family, we turkey.
Are they English or British?
Yes, of course. They're from Bath.
Okay.
Yes.
You don't get more so than that.
No, that's
who cooks the turkey then? Did her family cook it or will you cook it?
No, I don't.
Stay away.
Even try, of course. No, I leave the tradition to the people as to. So probably the mum is the main cook, yeah.
And what about opening presents? What time do you open presents? Ooh. And do you have stockings?
In Italy, we would say the tradition was to open on the 25th. But when I was younger, I had a very bad discover when I was around 7 or 8. You know, you always wait to open the present on the Christmas. You wake up very, very early. But that time I wake up too early. And I catch completely my parents
in
doing
room.
That.
Oh, no.
So you have the dream of Santa Claus putting the present. And I probably was 7 when I discovered that Santa Claus doesn't exist.
Sorry, your parents were doing what?
putting all the presents.
They were gifting.
Sorry,
they
when you said doing that, I thought there could have been some other trauma.
No. So, you know, I didn't say nothing at the time. I just watched. I say, okay.
The dream's ruined.
The dream was ruined, but the rule to open the present very early was never missed. So, yes, when
so
I was
open
young.
The first thing. Okay.
Yeah,
we
I
always
think
sort
we
of
kept
like
that.
Push it as long as possible.
Yeah.
We do stockings.
Really?
Stockings.
Yes, even
lunch.
When you were small.
Stockings first of all, then Christmas lunch.
What about breakfast? We haven't talked about it.
No,
enough.
I know. In fact, breakfast is important. What do you have for breakfast on Christmas?
Ham and panettone.
Interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. My boyfriend's aunt has lemon curd and panettone. And I mean copious amounts of lemon curd.
No, we have copious amounts of ham because we eat meat constantly. to the point where, you know.
We go full New York and have we have bagels with smoked
That's
salmon,
brilliant.
Cream cheese, cracked pepper,
nice.
Lemon juice.
Nice.
Yum!
Nice,
I think I might try that. I don't think we have anything special for breakfast. I think it's so
panettone.
Stressful in the
and
kitchen. Everyone tries to kind of avoid it.
No, you have to have breakfast, and then everyone disappears, and then the kitchen's mine. So I have on that day eaten breakfast. But I think it's important to eat something in the morning on Christmas.
It's true.
Definitely.
We were talking about the wonderful Italian saying, and that I think works.
L'appetito vien mangiando. Yeah.
Si.
What does that mean? A little bit of eat.
No, it means eat in order to get an appetite. So
that, well, yes, that's true, isn't, yeah, it?
So once you start eating on Christmas Day, which we have to do a bit earlier than normal,
stretch it.
You can stretch it all the way
through.
That's
true. Yeah. We have lots of chestnuts.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Oh, yeah, in Italy, it's definitely a marathon which you want to win.
Yeah. And lots of, I mean, masses of food, enough food to serve.
Do you have supper on Christmas Day?
Of course.
Well, we're still eating lunch.
We are.
Till about 5 p.m., but we still have supper.
I think the translation between lunch and supper in Italy is not really understanding because you're still at the table by the time.
It's very confusing. Well, it was for me as a kid that Christmas lunch is called Christmas dinner.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah.
You say the midday meal or the lunch meal on the 25th of December is called dinner.
Yes.
And
but
then
but it's really at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Exactly.
Apart from school, which was dinner.
Yeah.
Money.
It's dinner, and it's a bit like when you get married. You no matter what time of the day, you have a wedding breakfast.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
And supper or dinner is normally at 5 p.m., which is slightly early.
And so, what time do you eat? Your lunch.
Christmas dinner slash lunch. 2, 3?
Yeah, 2, 3.
Any later?
Wishfully 2.
No, yes.
Usually 3.
Yes, we set it for 2. Because on times when I've had family coming and they couldn't come till the evening, you're out for a walk and you see everyone else sitting there eating and you're thinking, why am I not doing this?
Yeah.
Because I live, you know, in Islington, so you go past all the windows and there's always a turkey being carved. I'm thinking, why am I walking in the street rather than eating that turkey?
Yeah.
Knock on the door. Do you have room? And they always would, but I mean, I haven't done it yet.
Hmm. So dinner?
Oh, no. It's chocolate.
We have some people have Christmas cake or crab
on
toast, which is weird.
Well, yes.
Sometimes.
Crab nice, though, kind of what you want.
Crab's nice, but
crab
I mean...
Or really good smoked salmon.
You're still then cooked. Mm. You're still in the kitchen. I mean, there's just...
It's all prep, though, just very lazy. Everyone helps themselves.
Everything depends on your lunch.
Yeah. It's true.
I think it depends how the lunch goes. Sometimes in Italy, we just end up having a bit of panettone, bit of dry fruit.
Yes.
Yeah, some cheese.
On the table, cheese, and just normal fruit.
Yeah, cheese forever.
I once did these sort of 12 desserts of Provence, you know, where you have 12 different sweet things.
Did you?
Yes.
On Christmas Day?
Well, yes. I mean, but they're things like amaretti and macaron and sugared almonds and all those things on the table and figs and things, which was nice. And people just picked them. But cheese, basically, you can never go wrong with cheese.
Or, can I just say what happened last year? Or you sort of fancy a sandwich around 6, 6:30, and you go into the kitchen where some of the washing up's been done, some hasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the tray of roast potatoes is still there, and there's some vegetables still there.
Oh, yeah, you assemble nice.
So, yeah, that's what I'm
listen,
doing.
So last year I thought, I wonder what a roast potato sandwich tastes like.
Oh, dear.
Delicious.
Oh, my God.
It's like you did a tortilla.
I've never tried it until last year.
You see, I have to say, when you're talking about that, I'm quite sad that I won't have any cold turkey stuffing roast potatoes for the next day. Mm. Although you can make a very nice salad with the leftover goose.
Oh, I do think so.
Oranges. Yeah.
Or you could do roast potatoes on Boxing Day with the cold cuts.
I probably will do that.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Boxing Day, actually, we're going to my sister's and she'll make rocket crumpli, which is a Hungarian dish. And in common with all Hungarian dishes, very light. It's just layers of potato, fried onion, sour cream, meat, paprika.
Very light.
All together. Very light.
Very light.
What about Christmas disasters, guys? Because I think it's a day where they happen more than any.
Christmas disasters.
I have many, if anyone's...
Thankfully, no cooking disasters. Okay. There have been, in my childhood anyway, there have been sort of family-based disasters where people have got upset.
Happens.
Well, that happens. That's just Christmas, isn't it? Actually, in Paris. I spent a Christmas in Paris.
Oh, on your own?
No, with my husband and one of my daughters. And all I can say is that we now have, when everyone says, oh, what do you think? I said, well, you know, we'll always have Paris to remind us of how bloody bad Christmas can be.
So it cannot be bad than
gosh.
That.
We'll always have Paris.
Yeah. I've just had a memory of a Christmas in Sunderland where I was a student.
You'll always have Sunderland.
I always have Sunderland. I was a student for 3 years and I lived there for a further year after I finished my degree. Working for Easington District Council, and it was during that year that my friends Andy and Hélène, who'd met at Polytechnic, said, "What are you doing for Christmas?" And I said, "Well, the family that I stay with, I lived in a flat at the top of this massive house. I said they're all going away, so I've got the whole house. Why don't you come round and we'll have Christmas dinner together?" And it was only then that the penny dropped or they announced that they were vegetarian. And I said, oh, don't
back
worry, I'll join you. We'll eat vegetarian Christmas dinner together. And they made it. And it was terrible. It was a nut roast, of course, and it was drier than the driest thing in dry land. And
the driest turkey. Yeah,
that's right, the driest.
I would take dry turkey any day over the dry nut roast. It was a little bit sad.
Yeah, we'll always have Paris.
I'll always have Sunderland theme.
We'll always have nut roast. Yes. Christmas is, of course, a family affair, and I think most families can be trying. Any tips for coping with difficult family members? Other than not inviting them at all?
It's difficult not to invite them because we have one that we usually have to invite. And we always talk about it and we say, can we really do it again? And then in the end, you just feel really miserable.
Yeah, and mean.
Not to.
And scroogey.
And mean not to. And so I think the most important thing is for me not to spend too much time in his company.
Well, you're cooking, so you're off.
You have an excuse.
Will he be with you this Christmas?
We haven't decided yet, but yes, almost definitely. Probably. He's always there. Okay. I mean, I think the other thing is to try, if you possibly can, to sort of suggest that, you know, lovely if you come for lunch, but we are doing something in the evening.
Yeah, so very clever. Always the way. Yep. Very clever.
Because otherwise, you know. Yep. I mean, he stood in front of Downton Abbey when I was watching it one night.
You know, get out of the way.
It's 8 o'clock at night and it's Downton Abbey and I'm trying to watch it and he's standing in front of the television. Okay.
We have this very funny thing where one of my family members is just hilariously difficult, actually. I mean, sometimes it's comical, sometimes it's really not. But what we do is we host a kind of first Christmas. It's called Christmas the First. Mm. That's how we refer to it. And it's normally on the 23rd. And we put on the whole charade. And we have the turkey because we eat goose. We have the turkey because she prefers turkey. Mm. We have the potatoes. We have the Christmas pudding with the lighting and everything and the putting the coin in.
Are you insane?
No, we do.
Sorry, you do the whole
thing.
We
do the whole
2 days before Christmas.
Thing, 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah, well, I mean,
we do the whole thing. My mother does the whole thing. Wow. And then just so that this person doesn't have to be with us on the actual day.
I see.
No, I mean, I'm
and
there
she takes
for
it. She takes it. Yeah. Honestly,
it's like
better.
Americans with their rehearsal.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's Thanksgiving.
Yes. No.
Rehearsal dinner. Oh, the wedding rehearsal dinner. Yeah. Thanksgiving. Yeah. Sorry, that's an actual thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I'm liking that.
Signature moves, guys. Golden nuggets of wisdom to pass on. I mean, you've already given us a few. Mm-hmm.
The good bottle. I like the fact that it's a good bottle of champagne.
Good bottle of champagne.
The best.
Yeah. So you're there with vintage Dom Perignon.
Yeah.
Everyone else is drinking.
Well, whatever.
Tesco's NV.
No, Tesco's Prosecco.
Sainsbury's basics.
Yeah, exactly. You know, rock on. I'm cooking.
It's true.
And you have to have a beautiful glass.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Very important. Only ever drink out of
very important.
Glasses.
Yeah, I think so.
Sorry, the question was, what are the
golden
tips?
Nuggets.
Golden
if you can have a kind of Christmas tip. It can be in regards to cooking, it can be in regards to avoiding your family, anything.
If you have kids, and my daughters are almost 14 and 12, 13 and 12 at the moment, but by the time this goes out, I guess 14 and 12. And from as young as I can remember, so when they were 2 and 3 or 3 and 4, I've had this ritual on Christmas morning of getting the turkey out and the giblets are always inside.
Giblets.
Charade, charade.
I was thinking gimlet, but the
yes, they're good too.
I enjoy them.
I am with a gimlet and the giblets. And we take out the giblets and with a very sharp knife, we have a little science lesson.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
I'll sit there with the girls and we'll get the heart and we'll cut into the heart. We'll look at the left ventricle and the right ventricle and we'll talk about how blood works and how it takes in unoxygenated blood and pumps out.
Do you have any idea what you're talking about? You're just making it up.
The pulmonary artery.
Do you really know?
I have a vague recollection of O-level biology.
That carries deoxygenated blood, the pulmonary artery.
Before it goes to the lungs and turns blue. Or red.
Turns red.
Red.
It goes
that's
in
right.
So what is this? Is this from GCSE? Is this from O-level science that you're remembering?
I
do know that.
Okay. Yeah. So Thane has a few more qualifications than I do.
No,
but mine's simply from O-level biology. But
that's
they love
really
it.
That's really impressive.
And it's something they ask for.
When my dad used to put me to bed, I used to try and keep him in my room for as long as I could. So I'd always ask him a question like, how does the heart work? Or how do the lungs work? Or something that I knew would kind of require a long answer, and for him to make me feel convinced that he knew what he was talking about, he'd have to talk for a long time.
Yeah. I'm really impressed, Russell. Yeah. That's really
with the biology
good.
Lesson.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. Right, guys, second mince pie.
And then we make it into gravy.
Oh, I like... Ooh,
yes, of course, obviously. Which one are we going for?
Well, it's up to you guys. We've got a star-topped one, and we've got a very... I mean, this looks like a pork
I think we'll have this one.
The porky one.
Yeah, the porky one.
Pork pie looking...
I'm going to go grab a bit. That. I mean, it's kind of a bit empty.
Yeah, well, it has a gap. But the pastry looks very... I mean, look at the layers in that.
Mm. Yeah,
it's got some
absolutely.
Good pastry.
But the mincemeat's quite dark.
Oh, wow. It's very rich. It's like it's like Christmas pudding. There's actually, booze in there, isn't
it? That's delicious.
That's really
much
good.
Better than the previous
one. Oh, yeah.
Also, there's
the pastry now is a bit...
The pastry, exactly. You can taste the pastry.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Really
and there's like a liquidity. Is that the right
word?
Yeah,
it's moist.
Between the fruit and the sauce of the fruit. It isn't just this mush, this like amalgamation in your mouth.
That is delicious.
If you look at the uncut
the pristine
pie
one
there,
that hasn't
pristine.
Been chopped.
It looks amazing. It looks like you say, it looks like a pork pie from a butcher from 1850.
Also, I mean, actually, that this kind of I found this slightly disconcerting when I looked at it because it looked like a pork pie. It just doesn't look like a mince pie.
No, but the fat in the pastry is probably better.
Is that the key?
Yeah.
The key.
But I think as well the sugar they put on top, makes the job.
But actually, agreed, yes, I agree. Yeah, it does. But the fat in the pastry is very
good. Oh, it's very good. I can see Jack drooling in the corner.
I am the amateur in this table of.
Mince pie,
so I want to take it easy. But I think this one was one.
The non-mince pie.
I'm going to go right in there and give it 9.5.
I'm going to give it a nine, I think. I'm going to have to say.
Yes, it's definitely 9.5. Pretty good.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you liked it, rate it, review it, talk about it, share it, and invite your friends round for supper. This has been a Studio 71 production. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.